It's 6:20. This is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. A newly inaugurated Dallas City Council holds its first meeting tomorrow. Newcomers and familiar faces from South and West Dallas have replaced four ousted incumbents. All four were supporters of Mayor Mike Rawlings, Monica Alonzo, Eric Wilson, Carolyn King-Arnold, and Tiffany Young. KERA's Sam Baker talked with City Hall reporter Tristan Hallman of the Dallas Morning News about how the turnover could affect the dynamics of the council.
Alonzo, Wilson, Young, and Arnold were viewed by some as allies of Mayor Rawlings.
I would say less Arnold, but certainly Wilson was considered an ally. Alonzo and Tiffany Young were considered fairly close allies. There would be some votes where you'd see Tiffany Young split off. But for the most part, they were considered more reliable votes. Now, with that said, Tanel Atkins, Dwayne Carraway, they will vote their own way. They're not going to join another alliance necessarily, but they could also be counted on by the mayor for some votes.
How big a loss, though, is this for Mayor Rawlings?
It's going to be an interesting few years. There are definitely more swing votes, I would say, on the council now, but we'll see how it pans out. It could go either way at this point. Omar Narvaez, who won in West Dallas, is sort of going to be part of this contingent of, which is still a minority, but could swing some votes on some bigger issues of council members who are opposed to the mayor.
Give me an idea, though, of an issue or two where a coalition would certainly come in handy for the mayor.
Well, the bond package is the big ticket item that's coming up immediately. It's hard to draw a philosophical alignment there, just because there are so many different interests and everyone wants something for their district that it's really going to be just a mess until it all comes together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's sometimes hard to tell what the other ones are going to be until they pop up, but there's this idea among some council members that the city has been too generous to the suburbs, that we subsidize the suburbs.
Subsidize the suburbs how?
Well, through transit. DART has the rail lines that all go out to the suburbs. There's many that feel that DART does not serve the city, that DART basically subsidizes the suburban transit. With the Cotton Belt line that's going to go to the airport from Plano, that's going to be something that has no benefit to the city whatsoever. But that Dallas pays the most into DART and has bus service that is lacking for its residents.
Well, then this comes to a head then when it comes time to appoint members of the DART board, right?
Right. And so that's going to come up Wednesday. There's a strong contingent on the city council that believes that the Dallas DART board members are not serving the interests of the city. And so they want to replace them with members who will be more urban friendly, someone who will put Dallas first and fight the good fight against any sort of suburban expansions.
During the inauguration, the mayor made a call for unity. Is that a suggestion of maybe how divisive the city council is?
I think it's a suggestion about how divisive it could be. The dynamics have changed. There's a group of council members led by Philip Kingston who are very opposed to the mayor, who are not afraid to say so. And sometimes those debates can get contentious. And the mayor is obviously trying to get out in front of that. And like you said, he was talking about national issues and did not delve in too much on what exactly those local issues would be. But the implication was clear. And I asked him afterward, was this speech about anyone in particular? And he denied that. You know, he said, this is not about any person. This is just the way forward for us. We'll see. It's a good feeling of unity right now. Everyone just got elected. It's laudatory. Everyone, you know, gets to feel the good feelings of being together. But we're going to have, you know, some fights up in the future. And the mayor has called for unity. But, you know, people are ultimately going to seek out what their best interest is.
Justin Hallman, thank you for being with me.
Thank you very much.
That was Tristan Hallman, a reporter who covers Dallas City Hall for the Dallas Morning News. On Tuesdays, KERA's One Crisis Away project looks at life on the financial edge. Today, a problem that's especially overwhelming for low-income families, bed bugs. Drawn to apartment complexes with lots of people packed into small places, bed bugs can cause pain, anxiety, and financial stress. And as KERA's Courtney Collins reports, some apartment complexes treat the infestations, then send the bill straight to the tenants.
When her little girls started waking up each morning with red welts on their faces, Shelby Rodriguez was worried. It was summer, though, so she assumed they were mosquito bites. Besides, she had already checked their mattresses thoroughly and had seen no sign of bed bugs. But the bites kept appearing, and she couldn't shake the nagging feeling that something was in the house. So she pulled her toddler's bunk bed away from the wall and investigated with a flashlight.
And that's when I found them. So all along the frame the floorboards, and then in the crevices and the screw holes of the beds is where they were hiding out, from eggs to the early stages of the bed bugs and to the ones that had been feasting on us, which you could tell because they were the darker brownish red color.
Hundreds of bed bugs crammed into every nook of that bunk bed. They were
everywhere. They were just jam-packed. It was absolutely disgusting.
So Rodriguez and her husband called the apartment manager to report the problem. They lived in Euless at the time. After a week with no action, they showed up in person, requesting pest control. Still nothing. 3 weeks later, they went to the Texas Tenants Union for advice, then made a formal request in writing. At this point, the bedbugs were everywhere. They threw out two beds, a crib, all the mattresses, and their living room set.
Everything that we had tossed, we had only had for about 3 months. Everything was brand new. And so, I mean, that was a few thousand dollars that went out the window.
The apartment complex did respond to the written request and treated the apartment for bedbugs. The Rodriguez family was shaken, though, and didn't want to finish out their lease. The complex denied their request to leave early and charged them the final 3 months' rent.
There we go. How many people do you know carry bedbugs in their computer bag?
Mike Merchant is an urban entomologist for the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service, and he does have a test tube of dead bedbugs in his computer bag. The smallest could fit on the head of a pin. The largest, about the size of an apple seed. He says a lot of North Texas tenants, just like Rodriguez, are fighting bedbugs. Unlike her, many of them are stuck paying for the treatment themselves, or just going without. That's because many rental companies have added a page to their lease that puts responsibility on the renter.
They're usually asked to sign a statement saying they've inspected the apartment and there are no bed bugs in their new apartment.
Merchant says there's just one problem with that.
Even a professional cannot go into a freshly painted, cleaned up, empty apartment and be able to tell whether there's bed bugs lurking in the walls.
The reason why is pretty unsettling. Bedbugs have no interest in empty apartments because there's nothing to eat. They're hiding out, waiting.
They've got us to feed on, and it has nothing to do with how sanitary we are or aren't. It's just we're providing blood for them at night, and all they need is a place to hide during the day.
So tenants move in, report that their apartment is clear, even though bedbugs may just be out of sight, then discover them weeks or months later. But they've signed that extra page on the lease, so the cost of extermination is on them.
Probably anywhere from $300 to over $1,500 to treat an apartment.
And that's not an option for many low-income families. Merchant says they'll often try to treat the problem themselves, which doesn't work. Then some families give up and move out, bringing the bedbugs with them.
For someone with money, it's going to be frustrating, but it's something you can take care of. But if you don't have enough money to pay the pest control, then you're probably just going to be stuck with it, perhaps for years.
And that's something Shelby Rodriguez wouldn't wish on anyone.
I mean, my kids were sleeping on the floor at one point, crying, not understanding what's going on. So, yeah, I mean, you feel powerless, and then everywhere you go, you just feel like on the lookout for bedbugs.
And even 10 months later, settled into a new pest-free apartment in Bedford, she doesn't expect that feeling to go away anytime soon. Courtney Collins, KERA News.
And finally, some news from the KERA newsroom. Today, KERA won its first ever National Edward R. Murrow Award for excellence in video among large radio stations. Reporter Courtney Collins and videographer Thorne Anderson will be honored for their video, which is part of the KERA series, One Crisis Away, Rebuilding a Life. It's the station's first National Murrow Award from the Radio Television's Digital News Association. KERA won a record 8 regional Murrows this spring. The awards will be presented in October in New York. You can see the One Crisis Away video and check out the National Murrows won by the public radio news magazine Texas Standard, KUT in Austin, the Texas Tribune, and the Dallas Morning News. That's all at keranews.org. And for the evening, you can expect partly cloudy skies, a low around 73. Tomorrow should be sunny with a high near 94. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.